I am Jason Kales, Chair of the Board of Directors Finance and Audit Committee. Today is December 12th, 2025, and the time is 10:15 a.m. I now call this meeting of the Finance, I call to order this meeting of the Finance and Audit Committee. This meeting is being held in person at the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas at 1601 East Pflugerville Parkway, Suite 3301. Pflugerville, Texas, 78660. Committee members were notified of this meeting on November 14, 2025. The Deputy Commissioner of the Financial Regulation Division of the Texas Department of Insurance, or the Deputy Commissioner's Delegate, were notified of this meeting on December 2, 2025, in accordance with 2C2 of the SLTX Plan of Operation. Notice of this meeting was published in the Texas Register on December 5th, 2025, in accordance with Chapter 551 of the Texas Government Code. A conference call-in number was provided to members of the public in a public meeting notice. Committee members Leslie Lillenberg and Nick Lawrence are present, Leslie in person, and Nick via Teams. A quorum of two or more committee members is present. Are there any other board members attending today's meeting?
Myself, Leah Bennett.
Leah Bennett. Also attending are Executive Director of Greg Brannon, Director of Finance, Ronnie Ford, Director of HR, Denise Amesquita, and General Counsel, Jeff McWirt. Are there any other stamping office staff attending today?
Yes, Toby Pick, Director of Policy Intake and Analysis.
None via Teams.
Are any representatives of the Texas Department of Insurance, the Comptroller of Public Accounts, present or attending by telephone?
Office Financial.
Director of Compliance.
Is a TSLA liaison attending in person or by telephone? Hearing none. We have some procedural announcements before we get to the agenda. All board members, stamping office employees, board liaisons, and state agency representatives should identify themselves when they speak. Please mute your phone or your microphones when you are not speaking. We will not have public comments for this meeting. Representatives of state agencies and members of the public are welcome to listen to or record this committee meeting, but please refrain from asking questions of the committee members during the meeting or interjecting comments during the committee's discussions. Members of the public or media, please place your phone on mute. State agency personnel may be asked questions about their agency's policies if those questions relate to an agenda item. Antitrust activity or discussion are prohibited at all stamping office functions. This prohibition includes the exchange of information concerning individual company rates, coverages, market practices, claims settlement practices, expenses, or any other competitive aspect of an individual company's operation.
So I don't know if we, do we need to add for the record?
Yes, we do.
Jolanda is here. Yeah, sorry.
Yes, Jolanda's now joined also.
Sorry.
Thank you. I was head down. We'll move on to agenda item two, discussion and approval of the September 26, 2025 meeting minutes. Everyone was provided a copy of the September 26, 2025 Finance and Audit Committee minutes. Are there any revisions or corrections to the minutes? Is there any further discussion? There being no further discussion, do we have a motion to approve the September 26th, 2025 minutes?
This is Nick Lawrence. I'll make a motion to approve.
Nick, I think you were on mute also. At least we couldn't hear you if you were saying something.
No, actually, I wasn't on mute. So hopefully y'all can hear me now. This is Nick Lawrence. Make a motion to approve.
Nick, can you type it? If you do want to make a motion, can you type it on the chat? That way we can at least have it on record. So sorry. Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're so moved.
So he motions?
So moved. Yes.
Okay.
Do we have a second?
Second.
I will second. Jason Cables. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye or type aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Motion passes. We'll move on to agenda item 3, discussion and appropriate action, the 2025 year-to-date financial review. I now give the floor to Ronnie Ford, Director of Finance, to present this agenda item.
We're going to talk about the 2025 year-to-date financial review. Stamping fees is 6% or $37,698 under budget. Investment income is 16%, $15,627 over for November, 16% or $178,478 over year-to-date. Due to earnings more on our investment income than we were projecting. There was a change in investment market fair value, decrease approximately $5,471 for November and an increase of $336,509 year to date. I'm gonna go down to our operating income. I mean, our operating expense is $111,949 or 17%. Over November's total, $971,167 or 11% under for the year. Salaries and benefits is 23% or $90,051 under for November or 12% or $688,905 under year to date. Under budget is due to lower than anticipated annual pension payment and recent change in the headcount. Professional services is 21% or $6,662 under for November, 8% $29,398 under year to date. Underage is due to primarily the budget increase in audit and accounting services. And also we had actual remainder flat, $17,000 compared to what we had budgeted for. And IT system analysis projects was not used for $12,000. Conference and education is 58% or $1,489 under for November, 5% or $49,016 under year to date due to timing and the quantity of budgeted conference trips throughout the year. Travel and entertainment is 63% or $2,261 under for the month, or 50% or $44,354 year to date due to the timing and quantity of budgeted conference tips, as well as less being spent on board member meetings. Occupancy and operation is $5,149 or 16% over budget in November, or over $6,311 or 2% year to date. The over budget is due to the reclassification of actual lease expense per gas 87, which dictates the lease are capitalized, including office space, copiers, and mail meters. We did it from January through June, and we need to reclass July through December once the month is closed. General and administrative expenses, $13,450 or 8% under budget for November, under $109,777 or 6% year to date due to the what I just said, the reclasses of lease expense needed. Capital leases activity also needs to be booked associated with that interest expense, what I just described in the previous category, causing an under budget of $37,477, primarily due to reduction in actual insurance expense and depreciation expense compared to budget. Contingency was not used, resulting in $3,184 savings for November, or $43,408 year to date. And then finally, the net operating income or loss, there was $95,349 operating income for November, $1,522,165 operating income year to date. We budgeted operating income of $73,975 for the month and loss of $543,425 through November year to date. So that concludes the presentation. Are there any questions on the financials?
I have a curiosity question. When you mentioned the change in headcount, was that a reduction in headcount?
Yes.
Shane.
Oh, yes.
And Donna, but Donna and Ronnie are... Yeah, exactly. Wash it out. Yeah. So the big one was
wash. Understood. Understood. Irreplaceable.
Yes.
Thank you.
Contingency. I think we've talked about. What is that? Is that just like a?
So it's a requirement of the plan of operation.
Okay.
We have a contingency in our finances. So I got here years ago. Believe it or not, that was 5%. So it was a whopper. And so what it did is it basically guaranteed that you were never going to be over budget. So we cut it. It's required by the plan.
Okay.
So we have to have something there. So we cut it from 5% to 0.5%. It's one of those weird things. It's when you think about what has to happen from an accounting standpoint, it's really kind of unimaginable how you even access that, right? Where does that go?
Yeah, it's so like, what is it for?
If you look at the language in the plan of operation, it was probably put there many years ago. And the idea was you've got to have a contingency fund. Being a nonprofit, you normally don't have a lot of money in the bank. And so you change the way you budget so that you have automatic money in the bank. We're not in that situation anymore, so it doesn't really need to be there. But because it's required by the plan of operation, we've always had it there. And it's a point. Arguably, you could do away with it completely, but then you'd be in violation of the requirements of the plan. So it's not there. We've never figured out a way to use it, quite frankly, but we never had to. So, and bluntly, for what we do and the way we manage our finances, it's much more important. If we're over budget on any one of these line items, I would rather you guys see it rather than just move the contingency fund to make it look like we were not over budget on something. So it's a weird conundrum from days gone by, probably in the 80s or early 90s that was put in there. And we've never really tried to take it out. it's from a bygone era, but it's still there.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? If not, then I'll continue on to the balance
amount. The reason the contingency is
per the plan of operations section 2B7 a projected reserve C expected for funds for asset replacements must not exceed 2 times the average of audited operation expenses for the 5-year period immediately preceding the budget year. So if you look at here, we have the beginning balance of unrestricted undesignated funds in January of 2025 was $32.2 million. November year-to-date net income is $979,000, resulted in a fund balance on November the 30th of $33.2 million, which is $18.7 million over current maximum. The projected year and maximum fund balance is $32.7 million, still $14.5 million above the limit, currently $4.2 million over projected maximum fund balance. Are there any questions on this?
Hearing no questions, Ms. Ford, do you have a recommendation regarding the 2025 year-to-date financial review?
No recommendation.
Thank you. That brings us to our last agenda item, adjournment. Having no other business on today's agenda, I'll move to adjourn. Is there a second? Oh, Nick will second via. This meeting is adjourned at 10:30 a.m.